How about some of the rest of those people who were Tulsa, either very well known or in some cases institutions? And I'm thinking now of people as different as Senator Inhofe and character named Modell Phipps.
Well, yeah, and people even talk about Modell Phipps to this day. That was Lee Gideon. Lee Gideon was a very talented writer of commercials, producer of commercials, and he created this voice known as Modell Phipps, and we'd have him on every morning, every Friday morning at 7:45.
Can you do the voice?
No, I can't.
I can't either.
And if people didn't listen to the morning show during the week, they would tune in to hear Modell Phipps. There's no question about that. That was one of my characters. That was just, I had a number of characters.
How much did he charge you for doing that?
No, he didn't charge me anything. Yeah, he was grateful because he got so much feedback in the community. And I heard you this morning, and he'd talk about his wife, Lurleen, and his cat, Snot, and all those things that he would go on.
I don't
on.
Think I ever remember anybody who you had on in that kind of capacity who was having more fun than Lee Gideon did.
No, he did. And then he and I would just end up laughing so hard we couldn't even talk. Mm-hmm. It was fun. Then there was a day that the mayor of Tulsa was Terry Young. And Terry Young and I had I had these interviews with elected officials and mayor. The mayor, like every Wednesday morning at 7:45.
Right.
Well, the town... we still fight weeds and tall grass around here, and I was taken with these tall weeds. And so one day I said, when I left the area, I said, I'm going to go out and I'm going to spray paint these tall weeds to make, if we're not going to cut them, to make them look nice at least. And I had all sorts of colors, and I just went out on these medians and I sprayed these weeds. Well, it was a tipping point for Terry Young. And so the next time I got him on, he immediately says to me, he says, John, I hate to say this, but what was once a fun time to connect with the people of Tulsa through your fine radio station, it's no longer become fun, and I'm really too busy to talk. And he hung up. Well, that just played in my favor just so beautifully. I mean, the people called, and they could not understand why the mayor couldn't have had fun with you on all this. Yes, we have weeds, and yes, we have that, and you just had fun. It just played in my favor. It was the front page again. Mayor Young hangs up on Erling. It just fell into my lap. And then we continued to interview Mayor Young. We found out all the Mayor Youngs we have in the United States. And so then I'd promote the fact, Mayor Young, Wednesday morning at 7:45. Hello, this is Mayor Young from Hartford, Connecticut. Hello, this is Mary Young, Mayor Young from Fort Collins, Colorado. And we had a ton of fun with all that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So at the time, Mayor Terry Young of Tulsa was getting his advice from a local public relations firm that is in existence today and I shall not name. And it was their advice. They wrote a script for him and kind of helped him with his wording. So he knew what he was going to do and said, well, why don't you just hang up on that John Erling on the air? That'll get him. So he accepted their advice, and it backfired on him. It backfired on him so much that when he lost the next election, which was coming up soon, the paper referred to that, not that he lost it completely, but they said it led to his downfall. And however, time went by that we got him back on the air, and he admitted on the air that that was a foolish thing for him to do, and we were very cordial with each other.
I always thought he was smarter than that myself, and thought it was just an incredible gaffe, but I don't know what else you chalk it up to.
Right. Senator Inhofe, I had a good relationship with him, too, and then there was a point in time when he didn't like my contesting him on his issues, and then he refused to come on the air, and he stayed off in the air until my last day. And I just know his wife Kay said, Jim, you need to go on the air and say a final goodbye to John. And so he came back on, and he did that.
Has he been on this program?
I have interviewed him for it.
Whenever I think about what you did, what I think about is all of the varied stuff that you did. It seems like you were into everything.
You're talking now about raising money.
Yeah, raising money.
Raising money. my greatest thrill on the radio was to raise money. This controversy stuff, it was fun and so forth, but it was the raising money for a cargo of wheat for Ethiopia. Children, I remember, got involved with that with their pennies, and I can't remember what kind of money it was and to take for us to ship a cargo of wheat for Ethiopia. I'll never forget, we went out there and we saw that boat go down the Kerr McClellan waterway. We did that, raised $150,000 for police camcorders. It was a police officer, Spanis, his first name just slipped me. He was killed. When he walked up to a car, and the guy shot him, Gus Spanis. And so then the thought was they ought to have camcorders. Well, it turns out we bought them, but the police officers at that time were not anxious about having camcorders in their cars. Mm-hmm. And it kind of, that went away. And now we know today how much the recorders are used. We raised $40,000 for a trust scholarship fund for police officers who was killed, and his family is killed, officer was killed in action. $250,000 coats for kids. And I just didn't think it was right to allow myself to be aligned to an organization. These needs that need to be held, need to be met in the community. It was like I was a foundation handing out money, but it was the audience and the great pull of the KRMG radio station that allowed me to do this. And I remember learning how to do that. John, you got to be honest with your audience now. Let them know you're behind. You're not getting anybody to call. You're behind $20,000. Tell them. Instead of acting as if, yeah, this is going great. Tell them. Be honest. And my honesty with the audience helped me meet goals. That was a time then when, I can tell it now, rest his soul, Walt Helmrich, he would listen to this. He was a radio listener. I'd come up about 10 minutes to 9. I'm 5,000 down. I'm 7,000 down. I don't know if I'm going to make this. And he'd call up and says, John, I'll give you the $7,000, but don't tell him where you got it. So I'd go on the air and I'd say, an angel just called. And that angel called me several times and helped me reach my goal. And then, and Walt and I became friends, and we lunched together once a month for about 12 years up until his death. Mm-hmm. And he's the inspiration for Voices of Oklahoma, and I can talk more about that, but I just, it was, so my times of raising money for people were really the best. One other story, this is funny, and I could go on and tell lots of stories. One Saturday morning, a man called and said he was thinking about killing somebody. So I said, well, let's talk about this, and let's talk about it off the air. And he said, I just have these thoughts of killing somebody. Did you want to talk about it? I said, yeah. I said, okay, I'll meet you at the expo building because the fair is on. I'll meet you there. He said, fine. Walk in the front door by those telephones, and I'll know who you are. So on the way home, I'm calling the police department. I'm saying, do you think I should really be concerned about this? He said, John, knowing who you are, I would be concerned about it. They said, this is what we'll do. We're going to get our SWAT team in a holding room to the south, to the side of that entryway. He said, meet us at the back of the north side of the expo building. They led me into that room, and these SWAT guys, I mean, they were muscle guys. They had all their chest protectors on. I mean, they were people like I'd never seen before in my life. And they put on a jacket on me, and they put on a microphone on me so they could listen to everything I said. And I was numb. And I went out, and I saw this man walk in, and he stood by the phone, and they said, we're going to be with you. Until I realized I was walking up to him all alone. I'm John Erling. Yes, well, let's go over here and sit at this park bench. And we started talking. And one of the detectives in the room said, if I walk past you and say, hi, John, the heat's off, you have nothing to worry about. Because in the conversation I had with that man, it turned out the person he wanted to kill was his ex, was his wife, his ex-wife. He'd had a big fight with her. But he would never come clear on that. He just, I want to kill somebody. He never did. And so they were listening to that. And then they, after, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes, they realized what the man was up to. It was an interesting situation that I got into simply because I took phone calls. There's the phone again. And that was the time on Saturday morning. You just go to the phone. I didn't have anybody help me. Just go to the phone. Hi, what can I do for you? Well, I'm thinking about killing somebody.
I want to kill somebody.
Right. Yeah. And so that's where the phone helped me there. But there are so many, many, many stories that we could tell.